Welcome to Disgraced, a podcast by The Awkward Silence. The people we interview in this series have one thing in common. They all agreed to take part in this series. As well as that, they are people who climbed high up the tree of success. So how, we asked them, did they manage to fall, not only hitting every branch on the way down, but also urinating themselves while they did so? This is a show about how the mighty fell, how the people turned, and how the cheese got mouldy. Welcome to Disgraced.
Hello, is that Ernie?
All right, me handsome.
Hello, Ernie. This is Ralph here. How wonderful to talk to you.
In this episode, I spoke to England goalkeeper Ernie Bunce.
Yes, very well. You sound like you're in a particularly good mood.
Oh, I always sound like this. They always say, Ernie, you're the most cheerful man around these parts. And I say, shut up. Get out of my goddamn face, you son of a bastard.
And how are things down south? That's not a personal question. I mean, how are things in
things down south haven't been the same for a fair old while now. Not much action down there. No, but down around these parts, things is getting along all right.
You've got the animals, of course. Your cows, your cats.
You're never alone with an animal. Sorry, well, no, it's not. Never allow yourself to be alone with an animal. Never, no. Always make sure there's people watching.
Yes.
You don't want to let them sneak up on you like animals. Animals will do you over soon as that. I go out to the pigs sometimes. I look over that fence. I look them in their beady little eyes. And I say, I know you. You want to kill me. You want to push me over and bite me to death. And eat me in little bits. I know that. Joke is, that's what I'm going to do to you.
It's a lovely role reversal there, isn't it?
It's a beautiful little image. And I have to chuckle to myself. And I pours them their slop. And I say, eat up, my darlings. Eat up. Because I will.
That's lovely. That's really quite a sinister image. Ernie Bunce, for the listeners that don't know, I will just briefly fill people in. You were goalkeeper for the English national team from 1986 to 1999, during which time you were involved in a number of famous games with the team. And you're obviously in your 50s now, and you look back at a career studded with successes. And you look back at that career now, Ernie, and what stands out to you as perhaps the highlight above all?
Oh, there are some memories. I pick you up on one thing there, though, me handsome. I don't like to say I'm in my 50s. What I say is I'm out of my 60s. That's what I say. I've left my 40s, not in my 60s yet. I say, and it's very, they always say, you know, Ernie, we need your date of birth for this form, you know, could you please give a straight answer? And I say, well, I'm as old as that scarecrow out there. And they say, Ernie, please, for God's sake. Anyway, but you was asking about the football. They were some times, I tell you. 87, I chinned a bloke, absolutely took him out. Halftime, that was. I was bumbling around the other stand, you know. It's just, where's the lavatory? Of course, I'd already been to the lavatory. I knew where that was. But I was just, you know, bumbling around. And when he wasn't looking, I chinned him, actually, took him out, kicked him behind the sheds there. And of course, it got back to me, and it got back in the papers. But in those days, the papers, they didn't mind, you know. You chinned a bloke, you know, mid-match, take him out. No one can find the opposition goalkeeper. That was the game in those days.
Yes, you a lot of your physical altercations happened off the field, Ernie, didn't they? Rather than on it.
Yeah.
And as a goalkeeper, how would you describe your style?
I'd say my style is it's no nonsense. You know, come what may, don't care who you are, how big you are. You come down my end of the pitch, You better watch yourself, Sunshine. That's all I'm saying. You better watch yourself. You keep a weather eye out for old Ernie. Because old Ernie, like as not, has got a bit of lead in his gloves.
Yes, I suppose that's a good trigger for us to talk about the incident at Fulham.
You want to talk about the incident, do you?
Well, it's one of many, I'm afraid, in your career, isn't it, Ernie? They discovered you were keeping lead in your gloves after you'd. Well, in fact, it was when you bellowed at one of the players, "I've got lead in my gloves."
Bit of a catchphrase.
It was only a matter of time, really, given the catchphrase that someone checked the gloves.
Strangely, didn't work it out, really.
And they did work it out in the end, and you were banned for 6 months. What did you do during those 6 months, Ernie? You fell off the radar a little bit, didn't you?
And for 6 months, best time of my life. I had a fantastic time, my darling. Oh, don't you mind me. Don't you worry about that. Oh, old Ernie had a good time. Fishing. Fishing is what we call it. But I tell you, we didn't catch many fish. You know, we weren't looking for fish. No, sir. Yeah, me and old Ted. From down Marzion way. We had a boat, fitted her out nice, and we had ourselves a little trip over to South America, if you know what I mean. By which I mean South America. It was the southern part of that continent.
South America, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So you and Ted in a boat, what, presumably just a sort of small boat?
Small in mine, yeah, a little fishing boat, yeah, yeah.
And you went to South America
in
how long did that take you, Ernie?
Oh, I don't know. I was drunk, wasn't I? I woke up, we were there.
So Ted did the bulk of the work?
I suppose he must have done. But I seem to remember Ted waking up about the same time as me. So,
I don't know how we got to
Chile. I don't know.
It's a miracle you weren't killed, Ernie.
Oh, yeah, it's a miracle. Yeah. I gave thanks to God when I woke up, didn't I?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
After chucking my guts up over the side, because I've been very, very drunk. But, gave my thanks to God.
In South America, of course, it's the home of football, really, isn't it? You've got Brazil. Did you go and see any matches, any of the football spirit?
We didn't have much time for football. Yeah, so that wasn't what we were there for. You know, I saw a couple of the lads in the street playing a beautiful game. I said, that's pretty good. You know, do you want some of this? Buy a little bit of that. Showed them a few of my skills, and then we was on our way. We had a tight turnaround. But it was worth it. We didn't have any shortage of buyers. Let me put it that way, you know. A few of the young lads down from the city. Have a look in my lobster pot. Buy a bit of that. Yeah, I see you're right.
Ernie, you're being I have to say you're being extremely euphemistic. I'm wondering what the hell you're talking about.
You take that back, son.
I'm sorry, I'm just trying to get a handle on what you were there for. You were showing people your lobster pots and getting people to buy things from you in the street. I mean,
well, what do you think? Oh, you gotta spell it out. We take a fishing boat all the way to South America, come back. A little bit of this, a little bit of that, selling it to the old bankers down from the city. No, you don't know what I mean.
Oh my word! So you went to South America. You drifted to South America.
Yeah.
In order to deal drugs, presumably.
Deal drugs? No, he was selling llamas. Selling boatloads of llamas, boy. I don't know. You city types, is all you think about. Come back. It was, you know, you come down in your car, he's got any drugs? No, he ain't got no drugs, but have a look at this little baby llama in my lobster pot. Lovely.
That's quite an image. So you and Ted were selling, I mean, alongside your professional football career, you were selling llamas in South America.
No, we're selling llamas in South America. You don't be daft, boy. Where are you brought up? Can't sell llamas in South America. They got hundreds of llamas, they laugh in your face. No, selling llamas in Devon, weren't we? Why else would you take a boat to South America? You're not going to bring it back full of llamas.
No, that makes sense. That makes perfect sense, then. So you were out for 6 months because of the lead incident. You came back, and it was shortly after that you were called up to the England team, Ernie. How did that feel?
That was a magic time. That was something special. They said, Ernie, you want to talk to you? And I said, all right, you want to buy a llama then, do you? And I said, no, what? You're selling that? I said, don't mind, never mind, ignore that. And he said, we want you to play for England. And I said, I remember to this day, I remember I held that phone in my hand. And I said, how much? How much? Because, you know, man's got to make a living. And they said, well, we can talk about the fee. We're asking you to represent your country. And I said, yeah, no, don't give me any of that. How much are you going to pay me? And, you know, so that went on for a while. And when we'd agreed my fee, I was very happy to, join them out in Germany.
Well, let's talk about that. Let's talk about that first game. Okay. It was an unfortunate debut for you, obviously, because you let in 11 goals. But what a game it was.
Well, unfortunate, you know, made me a pretty penny. I tell you that.
Yes. So you've brought that up yourself there, Ernie. I wasn't necessarily going to talk about it, but there were the allegations, of course, that you covered your gloves in butter and conceded the goals deliberately. So, I mean, just on the record, Ernie, the 11 goals, are you saying the allegations that you conceded those deliberately are false?
Of course they're not false. You've seen that footage, like, I mean, you see some of those close-ups, even then, I mean, the cameras weren't that good, but you could see me going, oh, whoops, oh dear, how did that get past? All the while, I'm winking to old Ahmed in the crowd. Ahmed, the nice man who brokered the deal for me, it's not subtle.
No, and for three or four of the goals, you just ran into your own goal and hoofed the ball into that.
Well, some of them weren't going to go in. They need a bit of an hand, you know.
Is it a surprise in retrospect, Ernie, that you continued to play for England after that?
I have to say, you know, the next 13 years. Yeah, that was a bit unexpected. I sort of thought they might have something to say about that. No, I think the crowd liked it. Bit of pantomime. No one had heard the term match fiddling. Mm. You know, there was betting syndicates from the Near East operating in the European game in those days. They didn't know that. They thought, oh, Ernie, he's such a character, isn't he? I don't mind telling you, I am a character. That's what they say about me.
Well, you certainly are. You were extremely popular with the crowd, and they had a number of nicknames for you. What was your favourite during that time?
They called me Ernie, the fastest goalkeeper in the West. They called me the Strangler after that time in France. That stuck around for a while. They called me Old Leg Gloves, you know, from the old days. Sometimes, you know, I come out there on the pitch, I take off one of my gloves and just flash the crowd a bit of the lead that was in, you know, just. A few of the kids in the front row. Oh, there he is. Oh, leg gloves, Ernie.
Yeah, it's fair to say you were probably the most violent player ever to wear the England shirt, weren't you?
Probably. Oh, yeah, I gave some of them a run for their money.
And it was, I suppose it was unsurprising, therefore, that although you were earning hundreds of thousands of pounds a month, and you were representing your country at the highest possible level, it is unsurprising that it all came crumbling down at the World Cup, Ernie. We have to talk about that, I'm afraid. You know, this was Germany, and it was in the group stages that things began to unravel. Is your memory of it hazy, I mean, looking back on it, or do you still remember things in some detail?
Oh, crystal clear. Crystal clear, like one of those new high definition televisions, my boy. I can see all of it. Glorious Technicolor. One of the most vivid, most exciting, most gratifying experiences in my life.
Even though it ended your career.
Yeah, but you know, what career? I was just out there beating people up from the cameras, showing off the crowd. Yeah, I enjoyed it, but at that point, I should have been in prison, you know. I don't know. I could do no wrong at that point. That sort of gets to you after a while. You start to think, I'm untouchable. Mm. Or is any of this real? And I was still hitting blokes, of course I was, but really just to feel alive, just to show that I was in the real world, you know, where you could still crack someone's skull with a piece of lead. But no, when I went out there, and like, it was like a heightened sense of everything was fresh and bright. I remember the smell of the crowd. I remember the roar of the grass. I remember the colours of the smells.
Yeah. Yes, it was a famously hot summer, and a lot of people were hallucinating, weren't they, at that stage?
I certainly was. I've not felt that strange since I woke up in the middle of a storm in the middle of the Atlantic. Strange moment, but when they put that ball out there, the kickoff, the whistle went, I knew I needed to be violently sick right there in the middle of that pitch. There was no two ways about it. I was very sick.
Yes.
Poorly. All over that ball. All over that ball boy. He'd won a competition to be out there.
No, although he was famously cheerful about it, wasn't he?
Oh, he loved it. Yeah, I know. He once he realised what was going on, he loved it. He said, "You're all right, lad," and he said, "I'm going to keep that." Strange little boy.
Well, I think you're dancing around the actual incident here a little bit, Ernie, because the match did begin with you vomiting all over everyone, including an innocent ball boy. But it was at 37 minutes into the game that the incident occurred. What made you see red, Ernie? Because you had a history of violence, as we know, but this was something in a different category altogether, wasn't it? You were 2-0 up. Things seemed to be going well for England, but 37 minutes in, something snapped. The footage tells us one story. We want to know the Ernie Bunce story.
It was what can I say? It was a moment of cold rationality. I'd gone out there with such a vivid sense of reality, but it was in that moment suddenly everything was even clearer. Like, there were only two people in the world. There was me. There was that striker coming down towards me, his foot outstretched to take that shot. And I suddenly realised he was saying I wasn't a man, with his hair all flopped over on one side and his football boots all muddy. He was going to put that ball past me like I was nothing more than a woman or a cow or a baby cow, whatever they're called.
Lambs, I think.
Lambs, yeah, that's it, yeah. And I thought to myself, oh, no, you don't. No, you don't, me answer. That's not why Ernie plays. So I think the word is clothesline in the wrestling industry. I just put my arms out and I took him out clean.
Yeah,
snapped his neck, good and clean. I didn't realise I'd done that. I didn't know, because I just realised everyone else out there, they was all impugning my masculinity as well. They was looking at me like, Ernie, you're not a man. And I just bellowed, I am a man. I'll show you how much of a man I am. And that's when I whipped my shorts off. And,
yeah.
They're all wagging around there.
What was so alarming about that particular incident is people, I imagine, didn't expect you to be so aroused at that stage.
Yeah, well, you know, football is a beautiful game, isn't it?
I think it certainly was until that moment. As you say, you clotheslined the German striker. Yeah. He had a famously weak neck, and of course his head came 60% of the way off of his body. In the rush, in the melee that followed, you, rather than helping and rather than apologising in any way, you sort of ran around the pitch still with your shorts around your ankles, still screaming, I'm a man, I'm a man. And I think that was what sealed your fate, really, Ernie, because that was when people, I think, realised that this was no accident.
The crowd turned against me a bit at that point, I put it mildly. They mobbed me like crows on a baby sheep.
It's a calf, I think it's a calf.
Sheep calf. They wanted my blood, so I had to defend myself, didn't I? I had to start, you know, lashing out left and right, taking people down with my three fighting limbs. You know, I think by the time they got the tasers on me, I was standing on a pile of people, men, women, children. I was still shouting. You know, they had those tasers in me. They were still shouting. Mm. Come on, then. Come on. I dragged one of the German officers over to me by the wires. You know, they got those barbs that stick in you. They attached to wires. I pulled him in. I reeled him in like he was a like he was a salmon down those wires. He was shocking me all the time. And I looked him directly in the eye and I said, come on then. Is that all you got? And I spat in his mouth and then I passed out.
Yes, and vomited again, unfortunately. I think this was, you know, when Ernie Bunce's honeymoon period officially came to an end, the fans, not just the German fans, but the English fans turned against you quite violently. You know, no longer were you Ernie, the fastest goalkeeper in the West. You were, well, I mean, you were a subject of real hate, Ernie. And talk to me about that period after that, because you were seen just wandering the streets, just sort of mewling and making some extremely unsettling animal noises. Where was your mind at that point?
Where was my mind, boy? I was counting the money, wasn't I? Yeah, I was walking around the street having a good old mule, but come on. I only needed to wait a couple of weeks for the payout. But I told you, didn't I, ever since that first game? You think how much you get paid by your Near Eastern betting syndicate letting 10 goals in a national football match? All right, that can happen. You think how much you can be paid to manslaughter a German football player and get into a fight with the entire crowd, some of the German police? Absolute fortune they made off of that. Sizable cut came old Ernie's way, didn't it?
Ernie, you've never said this before in any...
No, I never said it before. You're a good boy, though. You understand. Not like you're going to broadcast any of it.
Sure. No, so, Ernie, I mean, how much money are we talking then?
Well, you think about how many farms there are in the southwest of England. About all them farms, all those picturesque fishing villages, gift shops. Think about that. Old Ernie's in it. Old Ernie's. He won't tell you about it. He won't tell you. They say the Queen is the largest landowner in England. Yeah, they got to say that, don't they? Because I paid them. Paid them all to say that. No, it's Ernie. Ernie owns the land.
So you own most of the southwest of England, is that what you're saying?
I own the southwest of England, is what I'm saying, yeah.
Good God.
That's right. That's what they call me. Sometimes they call me Ernie. Sometimes they call me Jesus. My feet don't touch the ground.
So all of that was just in order to buy yourself some kind of lavish retirement plot?
Yeah. Everything I did, 13 years in the game, was all Near Eastern Betting Syndicate.
I mean, do you feel any shame, Ernie?
I own the southwest of England, boy. Why would I be ashamed?
Well, I mean, Ernie, lots of people would say that it's as a result of murdering someone.
Yeah, a lot of people would say that. Some people did. It was ruled manslaughter by a judge, wasn't it? And who got anywhere? William the Conqueror. Mm-hmm. He'll come up to him and said, you're King of England because you murdered people. He'd say, yeah, I am. Got a statue of him in my garden, don't I? Statue of the Conqueror.
So just in closing, Ernie, I mean, you look back at this. I hesitate to call it a career because essentially you just assaulted people in a variety of football fields. But you look back at what you did over the course of those years, and you're proud of it?
Am I proud? Of course I'm proud. I own the southwest of England. You've not been listening. I love it. I'm immensely proud of everything I've ever done.
What does the future look like for Ernie Bunce?
Well, I'm going to go out and taunt the pigs a bit. And then might have a nice cold glass of beer. Everything about nice little chat we've had. So, right, when should we do the actual interview?
Fantastic. And I will be sending this tape to the police. Ernie Bunce, thank you.
You're a joker. You're a joke, yes. You're a good boy.
Ernie Bunce, thank you very much. And enjoy your time in prison.
I will. Wait, hang on, what?
That was Disgraced, a podcast by The Awkward Silence. Thanks for slipping it into your ears. Before you go back to bed, we'd love it if you could review the show, recommend it to a friend, or just subscribe for new episodes every Friday. For more about The Awkward Silence, visit theawkwardsilence.co.uk.